We're sending out a team for Love Russia, and I thought it would be a good idea for you to get an idea of what's going on. So I'm gonna ask Anne in a moment to come out. I'm going to interview her, Anne Dunsire, who's Anne and Andrew are heading up the team. They're kind of like team mum and dad. Everyone who's been a long-term member here will remember Mary Robertson's passion for Nepal and Avril's passion for Morocco. And Anne and Andrew brought a passion for children, orphans from Russia. And we're just shouldering up as a church to help. So I thought it would be great if we could get Anne out. And then on the back of that, we're going to be doing some praying. Okay? How's that sound? Anne, would you like to come out? So, Anne, when we were chatting about this, you said the number 7 is very significant in your ministry. Can you explain why?
Firstly, the fact that we had got 7 people going out to Estonia this year to work with Love Russia. So that's first thing. The team of 7, there were going to be a few more, but for one reason or another, different people couldn't go. So 7 people going. So there's the first significant 7. It's also 2017, which Andrew and I think this might be our last year going. We have said that before, though, actually. But we really do think it will be our last year going this time because we're getting on a bit and it's time to kind of hand it over to younger people. I'll explain a bit more about that later. And also 2007 was the first year that we went out. And in 1997, 10 years before that, was not a good year for our family. I was diagnosed with a type of leukemia and I was told by a doctor in a not very good way, because I was in the hospital. I wasn't quite sure why I was there, because I was getting investigations for something else, and they picked up this high white cell count with me, and I found myself sitting in hematology, not quite knowing why I was there. So I just said to Andrew, oh, I'll just be 5 minutes, you know, do you just sit there in the waiting room, as he did, and I went in, and the doctor told me that I had this type of leukemia, and I'd have about 5 to 10 years max to live. So he didn't say, have you got your husband here or anything? Just told me, wrote it on a piece of paper, told me to go for some x-rays, blood tests, all that. So that was pretty devastating. And I just didn't cope with that very well at all. Had a bit of a kind of meltdown in the hospital because there's no sort of counselling like, well, how will we help you deal with that? You know, you're just giving it on a piece of paper, told to go away and get your result, you know, bloods and all that, and that you'll need bloods done every 3 months, like forever. And so, yeah, that wasn't good. At the time, I just don't like a big fuss made about things. We were in a church in Pennycook at the time. Mark, you were still there. And Frank, the minister at the time, he wanted to pray for me in the church, but I was like, I just couldn't handle it. It was too big. I couldn't deal with it. My girls were only 11 and 12 at the time. I thought, I can't deal with that. I can't handle it. So one of the elders actually spoke to me and she said, you've got to allow the minister to pray for you. I didn't want it because I don't like a big fuss or anything. And she said to me, if you don't allow them to do it, you're not obeying God. So I was like, okay, can't argue with that. So actually the minister and 2 of the elders and another good friend came round to my house and they prayed for me and they anointed me with oil. It was no big deal, actually. It just happened. It was only 10 minutes and that was that. And life went on. And then about a year later, I got this word from the Lord. I'd really like to share it with you. It's in 2 Kings and it's about King Hezekiah. It says, in those days, Hezekiah was sick and near death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, went to him and said, thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. Then he turned his face towards the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart, and have done what was good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. And it happened before Isaiah had gone out into the middle court that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, return and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer, I have seen your tears. Surely I will heal you. On the third day you shall go up to the house of the Lord, and I will add to your days 15 years. So I got that word about a year into it, and I remember sharing it with Diane, because Diane came and prayed with me and everything. And yeah, I held on to that word. But you know when you're a bit scared to hold on to a word sometimes, because it's there and you're like, okay, so this doctor says I've got this, and it doesn't sound good. But it's a long, slow, progressive thing. It can take a long time. But if you're, it's mostly people over the age of 60 that are diagnosed with it, and I was almost 39 at the time. Hezekiah was 39 when he was told that. That was quite amazing. So I held on to that. But life was not easy in those 10 years. Andrew, my husband, had a bit of a breakdown, stuff that happened at work, and he just came home one day in the middle of the afternoon, pulled the phone out the wall and just came home, couldn't cope with stuff. Our oldest daughter was going through anorexia. We had a lot of years of just horrendous stuff. I won't even go into that. It was just a nightmare. So there was just, it was a dark time. It was a dark time for me. It was a dark time for Andrew. It was a dark time for both our girls, really. There was a lot. And so it was just like this big, dark cloud that enveloped us. And it was horrible. It was just horrible. And it was just like wading through mud, you know. And I thought, how are we going to get out of this? I have no idea. But anyway, we had signed up to get this Love Russia newsletter. We had seen it at a small Christian resources exhibition and just got chatting to this guy all about it. It's a charity that most people have never even heard of, based in the Isle of Wight, very small charity. So we got chatting to the guy, signed up for the newsletter, and started to receive it. And one day, this one came. This is the picture that changed everything. This small child, who's called Andre, and he's wrapped up in a sheet. He's 6 years old, but he just looks like a baby. He's in a closed home. You don't hear this side of Russia. You hear lots of bad things about Russia. But there's closed homes are where they put any kids that have got things wrong with them because they're just not considered worthy to be helped. So they just put them in this place where nobody's going to come and see them. So a team went in a few years ago. When the team enter the room, there are no toys or anything else to stimulate the children in sight. Andre just looks ahead until his name is called. Then his liquid brown eyes light up with hope. He can't raise his hands in the gesture of children across the world to be picked up. His arms are loosely wrapped in a linen sheet, but when I pick him up, he snuggles into me. His emaciated body feels as fragile as a bird, and I whisper in his ear that he is loved. Andre responds quickly to attention and loves watching people. Although he's 6 years old, he's only the size of a 16-month baby. That was it. That just changed our thinking completely, because we've been enveloped by this black cloud of all this stuff happening. And sometimes when a whole pile of stuff is happening, you're just dealing with it, and you tend to just look inward and not outward. You can't see outward because you're just like, every day is a struggle to get through all the latest thing that's being thrown at you. But you look at that small child and you think, well, who's he got to help him? Nobody. He's just there waiting. We have to go somehow. And this is the first. There was a thing in here about 2007 camps. Could you go and help these children? And Andrew and I were like, could we? Maybe we could. Let's apply and see. And we thought, maybe they'll only take young people. You know, we weren't quite as old as we are now, but we were still, you know, 10 years ago. And so we were accepted, and off we went to camp for the first time in 2007.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah. Now, you're taking 5 young people with you. What are some of the stories about how they've come to be going and how they've managed to get the resources together?
Okay. Well, this is an amazing story as well, because last year when Andrew and I went, it was the smallest team we've ever been on. There was only 10 of us. There was 9 women and Andrew, poor Andrew. And it was one of the hardest camps we've had to do because, well, there was 10 of us and there was like anything between 70 and 100 kids. And they would arrive at all times of the day and night, you know, sometimes 2 o'clock in the morning, a guy would arrive, a pastor, and he'd say, I've got 30 kids with me. Can you put them somewhere? And so you find somewhere to put them. But we were stretched to the max last year because there was only 10 of us. And you're trying to look after 100 kids on a huge site with a beach and, you know, health and safety issues and all that. And all the time we were there last year, I was like, oh, if only we could get some of the young folk from Gorebridge, this would just be the best. We so need them. We need them. We only had 4 young people on our team last year, and it was really, really hard. And we just felt God saying to us very much, you've got to go back to the church, and you've got to get young people to come. Got to. So we're like, okay. And we know it's not the cheapest to go. Like, it costs about £1,000 each to go. So kind of as an act of obedience, we pledged to God that we would fund 2 young people to go. And we just thought, okay, so we'll do that. So if we do that, we can't afford to go ourselves, and that was fine. And Andrew said, well, no, we can't do that. We can't send young people and not go ourselves as well. And I was like, well, how are we going to do that? We don't have the money. It will happen, he said. And he was right. So we just prayed and we just left it with God, and that was that. And we came back, we spoke to some of the young people's groups here, and some of the young people expressed an interest in coming, which is just fantastic. And we now have 5 coming. And it's almost like God's handpicked these 5, because last year we had loads of teenage boys who all they wanted to do was play football. We had nobody to play football with them. This year, we've got 2 avid football fans. We've got Bex and Ryan, Andy and Maria's too. And they've already got loads of football strips and everything that they're going to be taking out for the kids, which is just amazing. And they're both incredible musicians. They're going to be giving so much to the kids through that. The kids absolutely love music. We've also got Libby coming, who is just a star. The place that we go to is very dilapidated and fallen to bits. There's a wooden gazebo where we had meetings in the past. We can't go in it now because the floor has fallen to bits. Libby's going to repair it. That's one of our jobs this year. So how amazing is that? You know, and some of the teenage boys, they really want to do stuff like that. They want to build things and hammer things and all that. So Libby is going to she's going to take care of all that, which is just great. And then we've got Guy and Kate, who are just the most incredible brother and sister team. They're like a double act, the 2 of them. And they've just got incredible giftings as well in bringing fun and laughter to the kids. Guy is going to be in charge of a Hawaiian beach day at the beach, which is just going to be fabulous. He's taking care of all that. And Kate is just going to be brilliant, helping, you know, bring the stories to life for the young kids. I was in a group with them at the training weekend where we had to come up with a funny story, because you act out all the stories to the kids. I was in their group and they had to come up with something in 5 minutes, which they did. It was the funniest thing ever, and everyone was rolling about. So they're just going to bring so much fun and laughter as well. So that's the kind of gifting side of it. The financial side of it, amazing as well, in that the guys paid their own deposits, or their parents did, I'm not sure. But after that, we've managed to cover all of the 5 of them, all their funding. And that just, it just kind of happened, just in a very short space of time. Like, a few people in church gave some very generous donations. Andrew did a lot of graphic design work for people, and he just asked that they all pay him a donation to the fund, to fund the 5. And Catherine, who went with us last year, she was going to go, but sadly she had to drop out this year. She donated her £200 deposit to the fund. And, you know, some of you guys here have helped as well. One of my neighbours just handed me in some £60 to add to the fund. And we've got so much. It's a bit like you were talking about the feeding of the 5,000 this morning. We're actually in abundance. So one of the girls that came to the training weekend was upset because she had no money to pay her fees this year because it was wiped out with a £800 car bill. So we've actually got enough money to kind of pay all our deposit and possibly more as well. Brilliant. So it's like he's just given out of that overflow, you know.
And the concert this Friday, that's going to help with that as well.
This Friday, no, all the money now for everyone is covered. We don't take any of that money for ourselves. Andrea and I always pay our own fees. So all the money is going to the five guys. Brilliant. But all the money from the concert and the afternoon tea that Libby is having will go to the kids for all the things they're going to need.
Excellent.
Clothes, all sorts of things.
Excellent. Now, one last question. What are the specific things we can be praying about for the camp this year?
Well, firstly, pray for the travel. When we all went to the training weekend, we got very lost and we were only going to Yorkshire. What should it have taken us 3 hours? Took us 5.5, so that wasn't good. Our travel arrangements aren't brilliant. We have to leave from Glasgow at like 4 o'clock in the morning. So we're going to all be tired, you know, to start with. So, and then we've got to get to Amsterdam, and then Amsterdam is a nightmare for all the luggage getting lost and all sorts. So then we have to get another flight to Tallinn. So we just pray for all the travel, it'll be okay. Also, just to really pray for the five guys going for the first time, because it's a big thing for them, and for all the kids who are coming and all the teenagers, and also the interpreters on the team. We're going to have about 16 interpreters this year. Now, a lot of them aren't Christians at all, and they've got to interpret all this message. We're going to do a lot of teaching this year. A lot of these kids do have head knowledge about God. A lot of them are fostered by parents, and so they know the message. They know it all in their heads, but they don't know it in their heart. So this year is going to be much more about sharing people's personal testimonies and things like that. So we just love it, you know, if people were really the kids and the carers and the interpreters and the team were all really impacted by that.
Brilliant. You know?
And there's the opportunity for baptisms as well. We had 2 baptisms in the sea last year. So we're praying for more baptisms this year.
Excellent. That's great.